Hello, and welcome to Rescuing Churches with Stan and Josh Gibbons. This is the official podcast of 614 Ministries, where we exist to renew vision and restore hope at struggling churches across the country. With over 80% of churches in decline and 1,500 pastors a month battling depression, we strive to equip members and encourage ministers to pursue new directions of stability and growth.
Welcome to another adventure of Rescuing Churches, the official podcast of 614 Ministries, and church revitalization and pastoral life really is always an adventure. I'm your host, Josh Givens, joined as always by the one, the only 614 Executive Director, Stan Givens.
Stanley Dallas
Givens. Stanley Dallas Givens. All right, so one thing that I've always been really bad about doing, and Stanley Dallas Givens will be the first to admit to. Dad knows this really well from his years of raising me as a child, and especially as a teenager, is that I just overcomplicate things. It can be the most trivial thing in the world, the most insignificant, menial, insignificant task, and I'll just make it 10 times harder than it needs to be. I don't know how many times I've heard Josh just hand me that piece and you stand over there and pretend like you're helping. I think sometimes that we overcomplicate ministry life and we don't even really realize that we're doing it. And we've kind of discussed this idea of complexities with conferences and ministries and seminars. And after a while, that stuff just, it seems really complicated. Lots of programs and things like that. And the model of ministry for any church really just doesn't have to be that way. So tell us a little bit about that. In your opinion, then, what should be the most basic fundamental ministry model for a healthy church? What does that look like?
Well, I think we've overcomplicated, and this may tie to one of our other podcasts we just did about pastors and their humility, because we like to think of ourselves as highly educated. So we get in school and we learn Christological methodologies, we learn ecumenicalism, Arminianism, we learn all these really fun flashy words, Calvinism, ecclesiology, eschatology, superlapsarianism, Pelagianism, and we can sling those around like nobody's business. But in the end, Jesus didn't teach any of that.
Right.
We can say we've defined it that way, and we can say this is what we call that teaching and give it some really fancy good name. But in the end, Jesus just taught people to walk with him, love him, learn to love each other, and share that. And it's way simpler than we make it. We get it very complicated. And I think probably in my middling years of pastoring, not my youngest years and definitely not now, but I think I thought it was complicated. I think I know there were seasons where I thought, wow, this is going to require a whole bunch of whatever, you know, study and research, and we got to define all these terms and we got to figure all this out. And then when you go back and you go, well, how did Jesus do ministry? Right? It's much simpler, much simpler. He literally looks at a handful of goober head guys. You know, I call the disciples goobers.
Oh yeah. It's a good name for them.
Picked a handful of goobers and he goes, guys, come and follow me. And that's exactly what he does. In John chapter 1 says, so they followed him, and when they caught up with him, they said, where are you staying? And he said, come and see. And so the men that were with Jesus went and stayed where he was. They literally followed him to where he was, stayed with him, and interacted with him.
I don't know if I understood that. I'm going to need you to explain that again. It's really complicated. Yeah,
very complicated, isn't it? So it's,
I need that again.
Yeah, it's just teaching people to follow the instructions and the information that Jesus gives. And you can say it's real complicated, and it's, again, if you will read the passages where Jesus is walking and talking, it's not complicated.
It's painfully simple.
You don't need big words.
Yep.
He wanted his disciples to be by his side with him. And he wanted his disciples to share a common path and a common journey. And so all through the scriptures, there's this importance of walking with Jesus. Hmm. He actually eventually says, he who does not take up his cross and follow after me, walk with me, is not worthy of me. He says, he who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. You lose your life or you find your life by who you're walking with. And Jesus is like, just walk with me.
Yep.
And it's not, you know, go to seminary class and learn all these big words. It's literally walk with me. Walk with me.
That simple.
Join in the journey with Jesus. Jesus says in John 12, verse 26, whoever serves me must follow me. So we just, it starts with the walk, you know? Sounds like a Stephen Curtis Chapman song.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Starts with the walk. The church at Sardis in Revelation, the church at Sardis in Revelation chapter 3, verse 4, but you have a few there in Sardis who have kept their clothes unstained, so they will walk with me and wear white clothes because they're worthy. They're going to walk with Jesus in heaven. We're still walking in heaven.
Right.
And it just starts with walking with him. The first step to good following of Christ is to learn to fellowship in daily walks with him.
So,
and I think as pastors, we need to teach our people. It's just that simple. Let's just get back to that basic of saying, I need all of us as a church family to commit to figuring out how to walk with Jesus this week.
So if you're the pastor of a church that is lacking in that area, if you're the pastor of a church in need of revitalization, and you're trying to implement that kind of simplicity of walking and following Jesus, whether that's like in a small group or a discipleship class or something, how do you implement that into your church? Speak to that, pastor.
I think it comes down to identifying the people in the church that are really serious about their walk, about their lifestyle, who are wanting to follow Christ, and you teach them by your own example first.
Right.
What you do in daily devotions, what you do to get to read. When Jesus walked with people, he talked with them. So that's really part two. You walk and you talk. Mm-hmm. And it's just lifestyle conversations. And I believe as a pastor, it might just be just as simple as this. Take those couple of guys you're discipling, couple of church people you're discipling, and say, hey, we're going to go to the park and we're going to walk and talk. We're going to walk in the park for our health.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk, as long as we're not out of breath.
Right.
We're going to walk and talk to one another about spiritual things. We're going to bring up Bible verses that we can discuss and learn about. We're going to see verses that can be confusing and just talk them out. When Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, what in the world is he talking about?
Right.
You know,
right.
Faith like a mustard seed. What does that mean? You know, when he talks about a camel, you know, going through the eye of a needle, we need to talk that out. So we walk and talk, and that's exactly what he did with his disciples. He walked and talked with them so he could sort out truth with them and help them grow. And so I think a pastor needs to make time for his people to model how he's doing it and walk and talk with them.
That's good. And some pastors and leaders in the church, you know, tend to overcomplicate ministry life because of all the books that they've read and the conferences that they've been to and things like that. And there's nothing wrong with conferences, and we've been to some really great ones ourselves, and there's some good ones out there. There's tons of amazing books on the market about church life and pastoral ministry. So, you know, we're not down on any of that, but why do you believe that this happens sometimes to pastors and leaders? They absorb all that information. They go to all this stuff and read all this stuff, and then they get back into their church, and all of a sudden everything's overcomplicated. They overcomplicate ministry life.
And I think I'm not blaming seminary or systems of just like you're talking about the bookstores and the book marketing and all the marketing that's done. You see this program that's going to really help the church,
right?
And so you jump into this program, and you think this program is, which is, gets kind of complicated, is going to be the thing. When really, if it's a good program, here's what it's doing. It's teaching your people to walk with Jesus, to talk with Jesus, and to learn from him. And when you walk and talk with Jesus, you're going to learn to share the same love that Jesus shares with you and with others around him. You're going to see him doing that, and you're going to share that as well. And really the faith life we're calling our churches to is really simple. Walk with Jesus, talk with Jesus every day, and then live what he shows you how, what he tells you to do. Let's live it out now. Every day, let's learn something new. Every week, let's apply something a little different and walk and talk it out. And then live it out in our faith life. That's what a disciple did with Jesus. They walked alongside him, same journey. They listened to what he said. When they didn't understand, they asked questions. And then when they did understand, they literally applied it to their lives. And it became a lifestyle that was literally imitating exactly what Jesus was doing. Hmm. That's healthy ministry. That, if you need a program,
yeah, yeah,
that's the program.
That's the program right yeah, there.
It's the Jesus program, and it worked really well.
Yep, yep. I think that, you know, when especially when you get into the complicated stuff like that, and you're complicating ministry life, it can also be very distracting. How do you keep the focus as a pastor where it needs to be when you're trying to sort through programs and things of that nature? How do you keep the focus of the church where it needs to be in the midst of all that?
Yeah, I don't think I've done that perfectly. I don't even think I've done that well at times, even at my time here at Northside. But I do think the issue comes back to holding yourself to those basics.
Sure.
And reminding yourself of those basics.
Yeah, why are we here in the first place?
Yeah, sticking to the basics
yeah.
at all times. And I love
the fundamentals.
Love the original Green Bay Packers story with Vince Lombardi, you know, go into the locker room every year to start the season with a football
yep.
and hold it up and say, guys, this is a football. It's not like these professional athletes didn't know that, but it was ground zero.
Yep.
And so I think as a church, we just don't need to get far away from, did you walk with Jesus this week?
Yeah.
How did you walk with Jesus this week? If you want to implement it into your Sunday school classes where that's a regular question and a Q&A time.
Oh, yeah, sure.
If you want to implement it into your small groups where your small groups are always talking about that. Yeah. As a pastor, you definitely should have it into your conversations with your staff, with your interns, with your helpers at church, with your deacons, the guys that are leading, with any of your younger guys that you're discipling. The conversation needs to regularly from a pastor be to the people he's discipling. How's your walk? How are you doing in your walk with Jesus this week? What did you learn this week? Hmm. What did you change this week because of your walk?
That's really good. And I think especially what you mentioned there about the you know, people and sharing the gospel is good because we're even implementing some of that at Northside with the Life on Mission thing. So
exactly.
You know, people are starting
exactly.
to get a feel for
which
it
is
there.
A program that we're using to enhance our walk.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yes. So that's all really good because it's practical and things like that. Some pastors feel like they need to, do and say, you know, and we're in ministry circles ourselves. So we see pastors as, and you don't even have to be in a ministry circle to see this. I mean, all you got to do is get on social media for 5 minutes and follow, you know, some of the pastors that are out there. A lot of them feel like, or at least come off like they have to say and do complicated or really impressive things, for whatever reason. But Jesus never did that in his ministry. He used very simple language and very simple words that ordinary people could understand to show them a grace that saves and how to love each other well. Why do you think that?
And you got to remember, he's not just a smart guy.
Oh, yeah, he's God.
Creator God. He can explain the highest level of physics
right.
to this any physicist in the world, right? I mean, he can explain rocket science to a rocket scientist in a way he doesn't know.
So if that's true,
you know,
why?
He invented warp drive way before we ever have. So
yeah, way before we dreamed up
Scotty
Star Trek.
Invented,
yeah.
That's right. So all of that to say, but when he shared what God's message and truths were, he did it very humbly and very simply, and he kept it very simple so that we could grab a hold of it. You know, there's even the story, there's this story in Luke where Jesus is raised from the dead and he's walking down the road with these two guys in Luke chapter 24 with Cleophas, and they're having this walk and talk experience, right? Jesus is walking with these two guys and he's listening to them talk. And he goes, what are you guys talking about so intently? as you walk along. And they said, with all this sadness on their face, it says in Luke 24, they had sadness on their faces. Then Cleophas said, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there in these last few days. And Jesus asked them this question. What things are you talking about? There's all this drama that just happened in Jerusalem. Like this guy was crucified that was supposedly the Messiah.
Yeah.
And then he actually died and they put him in a tomb. But now the tomb's empty.
Right.
And he's, Jesus knows all of that. He knows the answer to every bit of that. But he actually says, what things? Because he wants to keep walking and talking. You know? So he's not putting on some air of, hey, let me just blow your mind with all this.
Yeah, you have to know he probably enjoyed asking.
Yeah, so there's all these, you know, these guys are just saying, hey, you have no idea what's happened, really. And
exactly.
So they get into this whole story of there's lots of things that have happened. There was this prophet who did powerful miracles. He's a mighty teacher in the eyes of God. So they got all these connections.
You don't say.
Yeah. Our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned. So these two guys understood who actually did the crucifixion.
Right.
We hoped he was the Messiah. They just keep telling all that. And Jesus actually takes them from the Old Testament writings of Moses.
Right.
Right. And exposes all the scriptures concerning himself. Goes back to our thing we talked about in the other podcast of, you know, you can use all the scriptures to point to Jesus if you do it well, because Jesus actually does it. Mm. So the Jews are looking for this Messiah to save them. And he's actually walking with these two guys.
Right.
And he's literally just walking beside them. Right?
Right.
It's an actual beautiful, beautiful text where Jesus highlights kingdom values and his work of redemption and suffering and glory for these two guys while he walks alongside them. Very humbly, very simple, and very humbly.
That's awesome.
Doesn't use any big terms, big words.
For the pastors that have kind of fallen into the mindset that they have to use big terms and big words and sound fancy when they preach, how would you advise them to kind of overcome that? You know, if they feel like they have to do that, what would you say to them?
Stop it.
Yeah.
just stop it.
Stop. Cut it out.
Yeah. I mean, go to the, if you're going to be stuck there forever, please go back to a campus where you can teach that to the guys and impress. Right. You know, maybe the seminary students get impressed by that, but it doesn't help our common everyday guy.
Oh yeah,
you know, our young men and young women that are just eat up with opioids and they're trying to get off their addictions. A single mom that's you know for whatever reason had this broken marriage and she's surviving every day by the very last penny in her checkbook to make sure her kid has, you know, the right clothes for their school they go to and a little bit of food, and she's hoping for some breakthrough. You know, big theological term expressions are not going to help her. She needs Jesus. Yep. Real simple.
Real simple.
He will walk alongside you. He will talk to you.
Yep.
And he will guide your life to a better place.
Yep. That easy. What's the hardest part about ministry for you and other ministers in all of that?
The hardest part. To me, it would be not letting myself get sucked into some deeper theological debate.
Mm-hmm.
Just no point in some of that.
Yeah.
We can get lost in all kinds of crazy theology today. I mean, you know, the internet will blow anything up. So, you know, John MacArthur makes one little statement that he probably shouldn't have made. I don't think he should have made, you know, about Beth Moore. And now, boom, there's this incredible mess. But that turns into this huge debate about, you know, women's roles and men's roles and all that stuff.
Yep.
And I'm just saying, I don't think Jesus would have invested 10 seconds
in any of that,
in that conversation, because he would have just said, let's walk and talk. Oh, look, there's a sower sowing some seeds. I wonder what that's a picture of. Well, let me give you a couple of ideas about that. It's about the seeds going into the hearts of men. There's four kinds of soil that represent the four kinds of hearts that men can have. And he would actually draw your attention to something simple to help your life grow. And I think as pastors, we probably need to stay far away from, you know, some of that crazy, you know, deeper stuff. And we have to protect our people from erroneous teachings and that kind of stuff, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But we also should keep it as simple as possible. Jesus said, you know, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And when he did that, he meant walk and talk with me. learn to do what I do. I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to give you opportunity to do it, and you share it. Well, what did he do? He loved everybody very well. He loved everybody sacrificially and tried to teach the disciples to love them sacrificially. And he actually tells the disciples, people will know you by your love.
Right.
What kind of love? Well, the love that I showed is what you're going to do. And how did he do that? He walked with them.
Right. Exactly.
He talked with them. Exactly. He didn't make them memorize, 50 declensions of some Greek word.
Yeah. And this thought actually just came to me when you were mentioning that. I think that if you do want to have some elements of that at your church, you would probably say, well, you could have a small group on that. We have an elder here who teaches at Northside,
Book of Revelation.
Yeah, the Book of Revelation. Ooh. And yeah. I mean, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's a really, really theologically smart guy.
Yeah, but when you sit in his class,
yeah,
he's a crazy guy from Louisiana.
And he brings it down to an everyday level.
Very everyday.
That you can understand and comprehend. And so he's not just trying to, blow you out of the water with, everything he knows or all of his impressive knowledge or anything like that. So I think that's a really good point. Really, really solid stuff.
Yeah. Bill Hull wrote a series of books years ago. We'll put a footnote in our notes here on how Jesus has this pretty simple ministry plan. He starts by telling disciples, come and see. When they said, where are you going? He said, come and see. And it's literally just a journey with me to see. Mm-hmm. And then later in his ministry, he calls them to come and follow him. Everyone that follows me is part of my family. Come and see. Come and follow. And then at the end of Jesus' journey with the disciples, before he ascends into heaven, he says, come and be with me. So move your home and your thoughts and your values into my home and thoughts and values. So we're together. Come and see, come and follow, and come and be with me. And then you go out and do. And that's how he taught them.
That's good.
It's not complicated. But there's a whole series of books that Bill Hull wrote concerning that. We'll disciple making church, disciple making pastor.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, we'll drop those links into the show notes for you. All right, Dad. Well, thanks for that. And I mean, that's just really good stuff. Thanks for your time. And we hope that you have all enjoyed listening to this episode of Rescuing Churches.
Share it. Share it with many pastors.
Definitely share
really
it with as
trying
many
to encourage pastors,
as you pastors can.
Not just hear ourselves talk.
Exactly.
And all seven of you that are listening, you can do it.
You can learn more about us at 614ministries.org and continue to follow us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at 614Rebuild.